All right, away we go. Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll put the college basketball talk on the back burner for a bit, as we're right in the thick of March Madness with the brackets being released on Sunday. And we do have the NCAA tournament starting tonight in Dayton. But we got to continue our prospect profile series. And usually we do have to take a stop in Georgia because they always have a bunch of prospects, especially under Kirby Smart, for the NFL draft. So let's get to that right now.
The combine is over and the 2025 NFL draft is almost upon us.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Let's find out whose stock is falling and whose stock is rising.
Jackpot, baby!
And now it's time for the Zach Gelb Show to give you an inside look at some of the biggest draft prospects in this edition of Prospect Profile.
Three players from Georgia expected to go in the first round, all from the defensive side of the ball: Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams, and also Malachi Starks. So let's welcome in a former Georgia quarterback, now does a great job as an ESPN college football analyst, and that's our pal Aaron Murray. Aaron, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Man, doing good. Just excited. My Georgia Bulldogs obviously making noise on the football field, but finally we got something to cheer for on the hardwood, and the baseball's doing well. We're sort of becoming an everything school, so a lot to be excited about for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and we had John Fanta on the other day to talk a little college basketball, and he's like, oh, everyone's saying Gonzaga's definitely going to win. He actually liked Georgia to pull off that victory in the first round, so we'll have to wait and see. Let me get to the NFL draft stuff, though. Jalen Walker, I think he's going to be the first player from Georgia selected. I saw Daniel Jeremiah in his latest mock draft actually had him going fifth overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you think his ceiling could be in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy, one, I've got to know him over the past couple of years, just incredible human being, hard worker. And you say that about most of these guys. I mean, kind of when you're under the Kirby Smart thumbprint, you learn to work like a pro day in and day out, the scheme, the way the practices are formatted. But, you know, I would say good size, not maybe elite size, but just that tenacity to be able to get after the quarterback, that tenacity to get out the line of scrimmage, that first burst, which is so critical for a defensive end outside linebacker, being able to get off the ball and be disruptive. I mean, that's what the college games turn into. That's what the NFL games turn into. Who can get that first initial burst when the ball is snapped to be able to either protect the quarterback, obviously in a pass-happy league, or be able to get after the quarterback? I think Jalen's obviously athletic enough to do that. Extremely athletic to get out there and cover in space as well. Maybe not necessarily Mykel Williams' strength, you know, more of that big physical rush end, can still drop a little bit at times, but Jalen's someone that you could do both with and feel really comfortable with him playing in space as well. So not surprised at all that a lot of people have him in their top five, top 10 heading into the NFL draft.
Do you think Mykel Williams is a better player than Jalen Walker? Just wondering.
They're very different. I mean, you can just look at just the pure size and strength. I mean, Mykel's what, 6'5", you know, 240, 250. Jalen more that 6'1", 235, 240. Like I said, more that guy that can rush and drop, do a little bit more, maybe put him in the middle linebacker spot in some situations as well and have him rush from that spot. Where Mykel is still that big physical, set the edge, be a little bit more aggressive against the run, can still obviously get after the quarterback and use his strength and speed that way. But you know, it depends on the scheme. You know, I know that's somewhat of a cop-out answer, but, you know, they're very different in what they do and how they do it, even though they play, you know, quote-unquote similar positions and can do a lot of the same things. So it depends on where they end up. But, you know, with the way defenses are nowadays to combat the offenses, you see with a lot of like these still in the NFL, the quick bubbles, they get the ball to talent, you know, speed guys in space. It's nice to have a guy like Jalen that you feel comfortable with, that has the speed that could drop out and do so much for you defensively.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by where Mykel Williams is going to go, because it felt like a month ago, and I follow a lot of these mock drafts, that Jalen and Mykel, they were both pretty close, not that far, you know, a lot of separation in a lot of these mock drafts. They're both going in the top 10, both going in the top 15. I know it's only one mock draft. I told you where Jalen's going five to the Jaguars. Daniel Jeremiah has Mykel Williams falling all the way to 28th to the Lions. So is the stock kind of falling on him from things that you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the film was not as sexy as Jalen. I think Jalen really had an incredible season. You know, I thought he was a really good leader on that side of the football. I thought he made big time plays in big time games. I mean, as you talk to Georgia fans in the state, they feel like every single game, you know, whether it was against Texas or against Bama or, you know, whoever along the way, when a play needed to be made, everyone was looking to Jalen Walker to be that guy. And I think that's where he kind of separated himself from a playmaking standpoint of being able to go out there and kind of put the defense on his back a little bit at times, where Michael, a little bit quiet, but that's Kirby's defense at times too. And I think that's where we get lulled to sleep so much when we look at stats. We're so worried about, you know, how many sacks did someone get? How many tackles for loss? How disruptive were they were? When really Michael plays such a different at times position once again than Jalen, where he's asked to take on double teams. He's asked to set the edge. He's not always asked just to, hey, put your head down and see red, go get red, go attack the quarterback. So I think Jalen was asked to do more, that was able to make more splash plays. So if you are an evaluator at times and you're watching tape on Georgia, Jalen jumps out more. But for a defense that's looking for a five technique to be able to set the edge, you know, that's a guy that Michael or a team that Michael is going to kind of gravitate towards. And, you know, if they're in the top 15 or top 20, they may take an opportunity on him.
I think that's the toughest part. You have so many great players in college on Georgia, especially the defensive side of the ball. Look at the Eagles with Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. All those guys ended up going in the first round, and all three of those guys probably should have gone higher in the draft. You know, obviously Trayvon Walker, based off the potential, ended up going number one overall a few years ago, even though I thought it should be Aiden Hutchinson. Since you have so many good players, I think it's so tough to evaluate a Georgia defensive player because you all know they're good, but with how many mouths there are to feed in that defense, it's kind of like, how could you tell who's going to end up being great? And sometimes it makes those players fall back a little bit in the draft just because of how many people eat on that defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I do think that there's one guy to me that I've just been so impressed with throughout his tenure at the University of Georgia. That's Malachi Starks. I mean, from day one, the interception versus Oregon in his first game to what he did last year. And we talk about the versatility of Jalen Walker. You know, when I watch Malachi Starks throughout the season, it's absolutely incredible what Kirby and that Stephen Schumann asked him to do, from playing obviously the safety position where he's most comfortable, free safety, strong safety, blitzing, you know, coming down and some sort of, they bring like a cross dog blitz with the linebackers, playing low middle of the field, to even at times last year being essentially a nickel, a cornerback, the third cornerback. They'd bring an extra safety. They'd move Malachi to the slot. And going back to, once again, what offenses look like nowadays in college football, in the NFL, a lot of times you're going against the best receiver. You know, a decade ago when I played, your best receiver was the Z. So he's to the field in 2x2. And then if you went 3x1, you know, we'd put like AJ Green backside as the X. Now all of a sudden you're putting a lot of your best players, your best receiver, as at number two in the slot, trying to create matchups against safeties, trying to create matchups against linebackers. And they were comfortable enough to put Malachi in the slot as nickel, playing zone, blitzing, and then also playing a lot of man-to-man coverage. So, you know, his versatility, I know the 40 wasn't maybe as great as a lot of people or he was hoping it would be, but his ball skills, his physicality, his football savvy and smarts, and then once again, like that, the ability to play safety and nickel, I just think he is so valuable. He's been unbelievable during his 3 years at Georgia, and I think he's going to be a great addition to whoever does select him in the first round.
So between Jalen, Malachi, and Michael, do you think Malachi actually has the highest ceiling?
I do. I think he does, because I think there's less questions. I think Jalen, you know, I still worry a little bit about the size. I think Michael physically is as gifted as anyone that you're going to be able to get. Once again, I just don't know if he's going to be, just like Georgia, put in a position to make splash play after splash play. But when I do look at a guy like Malachi, I think defenses and defensive coordinators, with everything they try to do to slow down these offenses nowadays, look at him and say, man, we can do so much with that guy tomorrow. And he's so football smart. So, you know, I love all three. You know, I think we both agree that all three will be hearing their names called at some point during the first round. But I do think Malachi and his football savvy and his versatility is going to make a huge impact.
And in his latest mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah has Malachi Starks actually going in the top 15, 13th overall to the Miami Dolphins. Aaron Murray here with us. All right, while I have you here, since we just talked about a bunch of the Georgia players that are expected to go in the first round, quarterback-wise, you know, at the end of the season, you know, I thought it was a very 50-50 conversation on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Now, as we inch closer and closer to the draft, a little over a month away, it seems like a slam dunk that Cam Ward's going to go in front of Shedeur Sanders. How do you evaluate those two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hate this draft class, to be honest. You know, I don't want to be picking any of these guys really in the top 15 picks. You know, for me personally, if I'm looking for someone in the first round, especially someone in that top five, top 10, top 15, they better have something that's elite. And not just the off the field stuff, but like on the field, arm strength, size, toughness, versatility, escapability, the ability to run like Lamar, like give me something that is on the elite side. And I do think Cam Ward has top tier arm talent. I think there's some things when it comes to pocket awareness, when it comes to, you know, reeling in some of that playmaking. I mean, I remember kind of diagramming two or three times last year. He's rolling all the way to the right, gets to the sideline, throws the ball across the field to the opposite hash, both times resulting in interceptions. I'm like, hey, you can't do that. We all know you can't throw across your body. Hell, you can't throw the ball 30 yards across the field across your body for sure. So there are some things that need to get cleaned up. But when it comes to at least having something that I feel like is top 10 in the NFL, at least he has that arm strength. Where I look at Shedeur and I like his game. I think it's very consistent. Nothing to me screams he's going to be a top 10 in this. He's not going to be top 10, top 15 arm strength, athletic ability, accuracy. I think he's a good overall quarterback. But is he someone that is like I said, has that elite characteristic? I don't think so. So I'm with you. I think Cam goes one. I think Shedeur goes two. You know, after that, it's just a bunch of, you know, what I consider, you know, in a normal draft, third round quarterbacks that are going to get the ability because of this year's draft to maybe end up at the end of the first round, second round, or early third round, based on just the weakness of the class.
Yeah, I think the third quarterback in this draft, from what people are saying, is Jackson Dart. If you would have told me at the end of the season that Jackson Dart would have been a first round pick, I wouldn't believe it. And I talked about this to open up the show. Like, I went through the entire first round. I'm like, okay, where could Jackson Dart go where I wouldn't be irate? And I said 21 to Pittsburgh. But still, I would not feel good about using a first round pick on Jackson Dart.
No, and I think I'm hoping teams will be smart enough. But I mean, listen, the NFL this year has been pretty bad, or this past season, when it came to quarterback play. I mean, these teams are desperate to try and make something work with quarterbacks. But still, like, it's to waste a pick on a first round quarterback. I mean, listen, I cover college football year long. It was not a good quarterback year when it came to college sports. It was just a bunch of average guys that played in really good offenses. And I covered Jackson Dart as an analyst for ESPN. I want to say three or four times over the past two seasons. You know, been to Ole Miss, have sat down with Lane, have watched him in person, watched him warm up, watched him play the game, covered him. You know, studied a lot of tape. I think he's a good quarterback. He's a great competitor. He's a tremendous leader. But once again, when it comes to like those elite traits that what it takes to be a guy that you feel like you can win a Super Bowl. And that's what you're drafting. If you're drafting someone in the first round, a guy that you could believe could maybe get you deep in the playoffs or possibly a Super Bowl berth. He doesn't have those.
Yeah.
So I don't want to waste a draft pick on him. And there's one guy that, you know, I do like, I say, I like him that has some, a Superman characteristic, and that's Jalen Milroe. You know, I thought he would have developed more as a passer last year with the new offense and the new coach and kind of what was done at Washington. Very disappointed that he did not develop. But he's a guy that does have really good arm strength.
You know who Milroe reminds me of? He reminds me the same way we talked about Anthony Richardson, where it's like you see some moments, and he had better moments in college than Anthony Richardson, to be fair. Yeah. You're like, oh, this guy's going to be a star. And then there's like three or four weeks where the floor is just absolutely atrocious. There's no middle ground. There's no just like, hey, even when you're not playing well, you can still keep your team in the game. It's either all or nothing with Jalen Milroe, and that's what concerns me.
But that's what NFL coaches want, though. They want to – right now, if you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, any of these guys, you are hoping you hit a grand slam. What is a guy that potentially could give you a grand slam? Who's that guy that if you can develop for a year or two, has the characteristics to give you that? And to me, Jalen is the only one that has that of the guys remaining. Like I said, does have elite arm strength, probably the strongest arm of those guys. I like Tyler Shuck there at Louisville as well, but has a strong arm and is by far the most athletic quarterback, one of the most athletic guys in the draft. His issues come down to fundamentals. It's all on his feet. His feet were so bad last year. He's throwing out routes to the left. His feet are facing down the field. These are somewhat easy fixes. It's going to take some time to do. But if I'm swinging for the fences, give me the guy that can at least make those home run plays. And right now, Jalen's the only one left after those top two guys that could do it. So if I'm taking a chance, I'd rather take a chance on a guy like that.
And also, just going back to Jackson Dart, wrapping up with Aaron Murray, it's like you look at the Kentucky and the Florida games. Those are obviously things that are going to be held against him. But and I know he could put up a ton of good numbers when Lane Kiffin's your coach. So I'm not saying like he's a horrible quarterback. But when we're talking a first-round quarterback, you know, that game up against Georgia, they didn't win that game because of their offense. They won that game because of their defense that game. Jackson Dart wasn't impressive to me in that one, too.
Well, we go back to the game we just talked about, Georgia defenders, defensive players to start this conversation. Go back and watch that Alabama-Georgia game. Jalen made Malachi look so slow. I was shocked. I mean, I'm watching the tape. I'm like,
that first half, yeah.
He made Malachi look like his feet were stuck in sand. I mean, that's the type of athleticism that quarterback has. And he made Georgia's defense, three guys going to be drafted in the first round, look slow. And you can't tell me that you cannot figure out. I mean, hell, Jalen Hurts coming out, I thought still had some question marks as a thrower. Hardworking kid, good kid, a lot of the same characteristics as Jalen. Great leader, needed to develop as a passer. He has done that now on top of the athleticism, and look what he's done. I'm not saying that we have the next coming of Jalen Hurts or anything like that. I'm just saying he has it factors that excite me that if you can figure out a way to kind of bottle some stuff up, you could be talking about a pretty special player eventually.
So you would say your three quarterbacks in this draft are Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, and then Jalen Milroe 3, if you were a GM?
Yeah, those are my three. If I'm a GM, I'm going with those. You know, I like Will Howard. I think Tyler Shuck is pretty good there at the Louisville. Listen, I'm not down on Jackson Dart at all. There's just nothing elite to me, you know, size or arm. I think athleticism is good. But after that, it's just kind of...
What about Kyle McCord? Do you like him?
Yeah, third, fourth round. You know, I thought last year really impressed there at Syracuse. I thought he had some really good moments at Ohio State too, and you know, only his first year. So, you know, I think he's same thing. Third, fourth round talent. I like his arm. Thought the accuracy improved last year. You know, I thought the turnovers, besides the one game versus Louisville, I thought he controlled that decently. So, you know, a lot of good stuff from him. You know, I kind of see like Tyler Shuck, Will Howard, and him, and maybe even Quinn, kind of in that grouping somewhere in the third or fourth round.
He is Aaron Murray. Aaron, hey, before we let you run and we talk about this quarterback year not being a glamour year for quarterbacks, this time last year, if I probably said who would have been the number one overall pick, the first quarterback taken, I would have said Carson Beck. Obviously, Carson Beck is now at Miami. Are you still optimistic that he could turn around, or is what we kind of saw last year the true Carson Beck, where he's not as great as what people thought?
No, I think if he didn't have the UCL injury, I think we'd be talking about Carson Beck probably as that number three quarterback in this NFL draft. So, I mean, that's back-to-back seasons going back to a year ago that he probably would have been the fifth quarterback taken, which was top 12 quarterback. You know, might have had an opportunity to go to Minnesota instead of J.J. McCarthy. So he missed opportunity last year. Obviously, the UCL, I thought it was a good decision to come back for another season. But, you know, he's going to Miami, and Miami just lost all their playmakers. You know, like, who's he going to throw to next year? I think that's a big question. I mean, Miami had three really talented receivers, all those guys going to the NFL. They still got talent, and Mario's done a good job recruiting, but he's going to have to figure out some new targets and a new offense, in which right now he's not practicing because he can't throw the football. So I still think overall, great size, good athleticism. I don't think the UCL injury is going to impact arm strength. I think he's extremely accurate. I thought last year that as an offense as a whole, Georgia was just not good around him. So I'm still high on him. I still think he's an opportunity to be a first-round quarterback come 2026.
Former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray, now does a great job on ESPN as a college football analyst. Aaron, appreciate you jumping on board with us.
Appreciate you, and go Dogs in the tournament.
There you go. Aaron Murray joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We come out with our latest Aaron Rodgers pie chart on his next destination when we return in 5 minutes.